As these first parents created these evils, as I have explained, and in the manner that I have pointed out to you, their sins, by the influence which they have upon the spiritual nature at the time of conception and birth, become, as it were, a visitation, and that is the spiritual desires and tendencies and inclinations toward that which is evil, sick, and this influence continues with the child for years after its birth, according as the child and parents are closely associated together in their earth lives. And as each succeeding generation caused the visitation of its sinful influence and tendencies upon the succeeding generation, you can readily see how men, all men, became subject to the sins and evils and penalties which were brought into the world by the first parents. Instead of God being the creator of these things or visiting them upon the children of man, he declares that their existence is contrary to the harmony of his creation and must be eradicated before man can come into that harmony and an atonement with him. And as he gave to man the great power of free will, without any restriction upon its exercise, except as a man's understanding of the harmony of the operations of God's laws might influence him to exercise this great power, and as man in the wrong exercise of that power brought into existence these things of evil and sin, so man, as he perceives this plan of God's harmony, must exercise that will in such a way as to free himself from these things which are not part of God's creation, and are out of harmony with his plans for the creation and preservation, the Paget Messages 1916, of a perfect universe, of which man is its highest creation. God never changes. His laws never change. Only man has changed from the perfection of his creation, and man must change again before that perfection will again be his. Now from all this it must not be inferred that man is left to his own efforts to bring about this great restoration, for that is not true, because God's instrumentalities are continuously at work influencing man to turn again to his first estate, and become the perfect man, as he ultimately will become. I am not here referring to the workings of the great divine love which, when a man possesses in a sufficient degree, makes him more than a perfect man. So, the sins of the parents are visited upon the children to the third and fourth generation, means, the tendencies and inclinations toward that which is evil, are created, not by God, but by man himself, solely and exclusively. And O man, could you see the results of these sins upon the spiritual natures of your children, as you often see them upon their material bodies, you would hesitate in your sinning and think, and thinking would see the way by which the great blot upon the happiness and salvation of humanity could be removed and its progress to the perfect man be hastened and assured. Well, I have written enough for tonight, and hope that what I have said may be understood and meditated upon by all who may read it. I will not detain you longer, and with my love and the blessings of one who is now not only the perfect man, but a possessor of the divine nature of the Father and an inheritor of immortality, say good night. Your brother in Christ, Luke. April 10, 1916. I am here, Luke. I desire to make some corrections in my message of last night, and will thank you to receive them. I desire to say, that when I spoke of the sins of the parents being visited upon the children at the time of conception and birth, I meant that these sins, by the influence which they have upon the spiritual nature of the child, became, as it were, a visitation. I did not mean that any part of the real sin of the parents became a part of the spiritual nature of the child, but only that the influence of the parents' sins upon the child is sufficient to give the spiritual desires and tendencies of the child an inclination towards that which is evil. And this 368 influence is continuous with the child for years after its birth, according as the child and parents are closely associated together in their earth lives. Let this point be made plain so that man may not quibble about the meaning of what I wrote. Otherwise the message is true, and just as I intended it should convey to you the truth of the meaning of the text. I will not delay you longer tonight, but with my love and blessings say, I'm your brother in Christ, Luke. April 14, 1916. I am here, Clara Barton. I was the woman who founded the Red Cross Society, and I am still interested in it, although I am a spirit. I saw that others were writing through you, and I thought that I would like to try, and so with the permission of your wife I took hold of the pen and am now trying to express a few thoughts to you. Well, I see that my society is very busy now in the Great War and is doing a great deal of good, and needs all the encouragement that it can get. It also needs to have an increase in its membership in all parts of the world, for I see additional scenes of action where its services will be required. Especially in Mexico, for very soon your nation will be at war with that nation and many a poor soldier will need the services of the Red Cross. I will not write more tonight, but it will come sometime and write more fully, if I am permitted to do so. I am in the earth plane, they tell me. I am not very happy nor yet unhappy. I have the association of some very good and lovely spirits who are interested in humanity as I am. We are trying to help men wherever we can. Yes, I have met some of these beautiful spirits, and they have been very kind to me, trying to help me, but I am so interested in the work of my society that I have not given much attention to the advice of these high spirits. But why do you ask the question as to my having seen these spirits? I have listened to you with great interest, and I am impressed by what you tell me. I have never thought of myself in the particular which you mention, but now I see that what you say must be true, and that I should seek my own development as well as try to assist my late associates. I will do as you advise and seek one of these high spirits, and ask her help and instructions. I see a number of high spirits here now, brighter and more beautiful than I have ever seen. The Paget message is 1916, and your wife brings one to me and says that she is interested in me, and loves me and will help me in the way that you suggest. I am going with her and will seriously listen to her, and seek for all the benefits that I may obtain. I thank you for your interest and kindness and will come sometime and write you of my experience. So thanking you I will say good night, Clara Barton. I am here, Helen, yes, this is Helen, and no one else. I heard what you told White Eagle, and he was ready and able to keep away the spirits who wanted so much to write, and a great many were here with a desire. But he told them that they would not be permitted to write. Yes, Great Bear is here too, and he was with White Eagle in letting these dark spirits know that they would not be permitted to write tonight. Well, I have told him and he is pleased, and says he will write you very soon, and will be very glad to do so. He is a good Indian and seems to love you very much. Well, as to the two who wrote, I advised White Eagle to let them write for I saw their condition, and saw that some good might result to them for having the chance to write, and so it proved to be for the Frenchman is now with Mr. Riddle who is telling him spiritual truths, and Miss Barton is with your mother who is explaining to her the great love of the Father, and the necessity for her to seek for and find it. I will not write more tonight, but as I promised some times ago, very soon I will come and write my long loving letter. Well, as you are so anxious to receive it, I will come just as soon as you say. Well, how will tomorrow night suit you? Oh, Ned, how happy you make me! If you would only love in this way all the time. I wish I could have you see me and feel my arms around you, and even feel you stopping me as you say. You may not know, but you would find something real to slap. You dear old Ned, how I love you and want you with me. But I say to my longings, have patience, for soon he will be with me, just as soon as your work shall be finished. I do love you and pray for you, and try to make you happy. So sweetheart, when you go to bed tonight think of me and love me, and even dream of me, for I will be with you. So dear heart, let us have a real long kiss and say good night. Your own true and loving, Helen. April 15, 1916 I am here, Mary, the mother of Jesus. I come to you with all the mother's love of one who loved her dear son so much while on earth, and who suffered all the heart pangs which the cruel death of my beloved caused me, and with the love that has been purified by experience and closeness to the blessed Father. I say, I come to you with this mother's love, for you are the children of my Father, as I am his child, and you are also the brothers of my dear son, who is with you so much and so interested in you and your future. Let your love for the Father increase, and also your love for the Master, as he is the greatest and dearest friend that you have in all the celestial or spiritual heavens. I'm in the celestial heavens, very near the fountainhead of God's love, and also near the home of my dear son, but not in the same sphere with him, for no spirit in all the celestial heavens has the same great soul development as he has, or possessed with the divine love to such an extent. And I want to say just here that I am not in the condition or place that I am, because I am his mother, but because of the development of my own soul. Only this great possession of the divine love determines our position and condition here. I am now in such condition that I know that the love of the Father is the only thing in all the universe of God that can make a mortal, or spirit either, a partaker of the divine nature, and an inhabitant of the kingdom of heaven. I will not write more, but will come again and write you of the early life of Jesus, and of his development in the love as was shown to me, while he was a growing child, and after he became a man, prior to his public ministry. Question: was Joseph the father of Jesus? Well, I suppose I am the only one in all the universe of God who knows the fact with reference to that question, and I, as a spirit of the celestial spheres, knowing only truth, say to you and all the world, that Joseph was the actual father of Jesus, and that he was conceived and born as any other mortal was conceived and born. The Holy Spirit did not beget him, and I never was informed that such a thing would happen. I was known by Joseph before the conception of Jesus, and by him I was made pregnant with that blessed Son. This is the truth, and all accounts and statements to the contrary are erroneous. I was a simple Jewish maiden, and never had any knowledge that my son was to be different. 369, the Paget Messages 1916, from the sons of other mothers, and it was not until after the development in him of the divine nature of the Father that I realized that he was so different from the sons of other mothers. I will not write more tonight. So my dear children, believe what I have written, and also know that I love you with a great love, and am working with the other celestial spirits to make your souls the possessors of this great love. With this love and my blessing I will say, God be with you now and for all eternity. Your sister and mother in Christ, Mary. I am here, John. I want to write a few lines on a subject that you will be interested in, and which will open your understanding to some truths that are not known to mortals. Tonight I see that you have a caller, and I will defer my writing until later, although I know that he also is interested in the subject, and it will be written as much for him as for you. So after you shall have received the message of the Master, I will come and write you. But this I must say now, both for your sake and that of your friend, and that is that you must both pray more to the Father and seek the faith that will bring you in unison with him and his love. You both have this love to a considerable extent and you realize it, but what you now have cannot be compared to what will be yours, if you will only do as I say. There is no other way to obtain the great inflowing of this love. We can and do help you by our influence and association, but this love is that which comes direct from the Father through the medium of the Holy Spirit, and no spirits, no matter how high we may be in the celestial kingdom, and how great our development may be, we cannot give you this love, for it comes only from the Father. But for your encouragement let me say, that we all pray for you and are always endeavoring to throw around you influences that will cause your souls to open up to the inflowing of this love. If you could only realize what this means, you would see the great favor that you have and how your position is such that not seldom have the wicked or undesirable spirits had any opportunity to exercise their influences upon you. So my dear brethren, think of what I have written, and let it sink deep into your souls and consciousness that there are surrounding you many spirits of the celestial as well as of the higher spiritual heavens. I will not write more tonight, but, with my love and blessing, will say good night. Your brother in Christ, John. I am here, Saul. I want to write just a line as I see that tonight you have around you so many of the high spirits. I do not intend to say much, but I must tell you that I am in a condition of love that makes me happy as I see that you are. I am not so high in my position or have so much of the soul development as have those who have just written you. But yet, I am a spirit who knows the truth of the divine love and a possessor of the divine nature. I want to say to you both, pray and believe. Let not what others may write or say to the contrary cause you to doubt that the spirit who wrote you was Mary, not the Virgin Mary, but Mary the mother of Jesus. She is a beautiful and pure spirit and one who is filled with the Father's love to a wonderful degree. She also has her mother's nature to an extent that makes her love all the children of God, whether they be good or sinful, and she does pray to the Father for the sons of earth, but she is not pleased when mortals pray to her as someone who should be worshipped. She is only a spirit filled with love, and when they, I mean mortals, look upon her as a mother, she is not displeased, for as I say, she loves them all. But when they think that in order to reach the ear of the Father in seeking for his love, they have to pray to her to intervene, she is sorely displeased and, if she could do so, would proclaim to them the great error and sin in believing in her and praying to her as a necessary intermediary between God and themselves. Someday, mortals will know that the Father hears their prayers, just as he does the prayers of Mary or any other spirit, and that while she and all other spirits can help them, even by their prayers, yet God wants the prayers and soul longings of mortals directed to himself. I write this to show that some of the Orthodox Christians make a great mistake in praying to the Virgin Mary or to any other saint, instead of to the Father. I will not write more tonight, and will say that I, as well as the other spirits who are here tonight, love you with the love of a brother who knows the reality of this divine love. Your brother in Christ, Saul. I am here, your Helen. Well, you have had some wonderful messages tonight, and you must believe that they were written by the spirits who 370, the Paget Messages 1916, professed to have written. I know the spirits, and I tell you, and you know that I could not deceive you, that John and Saul and Mary wrote you, and what they wrote they know to be true. How happy I am tonight, for I see that you are happy too, and have felt the influence of the great love that has surrounded you this night. I never, in all our meetings, have seen so many of the celestial spirits as have been present tonight. And if it were not that you are too tired, though you may not realize it, many others would write you. But the fact is that you have been in an atmosphere of love that I believe has rarely come to mortals, and this love is of a nature that can only come from spirits who have received this divine nature of the Father. So you and the doctor must believe what I tell you and follow the advice that has been given you and rely upon the encouraging words that have been written. John is a very beautiful spirit and is so greatly developed in his soul perceptions that his knowledge of the Father and the love that comes from him is astonishing. I will not detain you longer tonight, for I see that you are tired. Good night and pleasant dreams. Your own true and loving, Helen. April 16, 1916. I am here, John. I came tonight to tell you that the Master will not write, as he is not present, but is at work in another part of the universe, where he is needed, and where he is doing a work that none of us can do. Well, I know that he had an engagement with you, but he thought best not to keep it, and sent me here to tell you, for he did not want you to think that he had forgotten you, as he has not. Very soon he will come and continue the messages, and you will not be disappointed. I will not write more tonight, as you will have a communication from another that will be interesting. Yes, it was a glorious night, for as you were told, many of the celestial spirits were present with their love and helpful influences, and one especially was with you, having a great love for you and your friend. She still has a great mother's love as well as the divine love, or rather this divine love which includes this motherly feeling and desire to make you happy as one of her children. Although she is your sister rather than your mother, but still she feels like the mother of all of Jesus' followers, as she is his mother still, and yet, not his equal in the great soul development. She really 371, wrote to you, and what she stated is true, notwithstanding the declarations contained in the Bible, as to Jesus' conception and birth. And I must here state again, that at no time in his ministry did he claim or have the slightest thought of having been conceived by the Holy Spirit, or that he had any other father than Joseph. We never looked upon him as God or as a son of God in the peculiar sense in which the Orthodox churches teach, and now I know he was not such God or son of God. He is merely a spirit as are the rest of us, but the one possessing more divine love, and having the greatest knowledge of the Father, and of his personality and attributes. So believe what we have written you on this question, for it is true. I will stop now, and in doing so will say, God bless you. Your brother and friend, John. April 18, 1916. I am here, Aronda and White Eagle. I am the guardian of Dr. Stone. I was the Hindu guide. I want to tell him that I was with him when he treated the sick woman. Her name was Miss Follin, an elderly patient. I was an assistant and we were trying to help him in ministering to her and are making every effort to establish that rapport that will enable him to do her good. He must have faith, for notwithstanding that she appears to be beyond all hope, there is more than hope, and if we can only establish the rapport that is necessary, he will be able to help her so that she will recover and restore to her the powers of sensation in the apparently dead portions of the body, and also recover strength of mind sufficient to enable her to regain her condition, and the necessity of her following his instructions. We will make a special effort in his case in order to demonstrate the effect of the powers which the spirit world has over the conditions of mortals where all hope has been abandoned by physicians who rely only so far as drugs and the medicines. Besides our powers, there is a doctor present who has the power of high spirits, and such powers are beyond the comprehension of mortals who have not the faith of which he has been told in the messages which have come to you. Faith and prayer are mighty instruments in effecting cures of the human ills, and in this case the doctor must pray and exercise his faith, and he will see the glory of God manifested in the case of this woman. So tell him to rely on us and in the powers of the bright spirits, for they will both be with him in his. The Paget Messages 1916, Treatment of this Woman. I thought it best to write this so that he may be encouraged in his good work. Tell him that we will be with him on every visit that he makes to her, and will try to get conditions so that our powers may be exercised in helping him. But above all, pray and exercise faith. White Eagle. P.S. I am glad to say the woman who was advanced in age, who I was instrumental in treating, was restored to good health and lived many years after the healing. I recognize that the healing that brought results was on account of the high healing spirits. Dr. L.R. Stone, I am here, Helen. Well, sweetheart, I want to say very seriously that Dr. Stone must believe the message that he received from his Hindu doctor guide, for he actually wrote him and seems to have great interest in the case of the sick woman, and will do his best to help the doctor, and in addition, he will find that other and higher powers will also help him, if he will only pray and have faith, and when these powers of the higher spirits come, he will find, as the Christian scientists say, that there is no reality in the disease that seems to have placed that woman beyond all hope. Oh, I tell you, the power of these spirits is wonderful, and if the proper rapport can be established, the doctor will realize that the power to heal did not die, or was not taken from men, when the last of the apostles died. I write this in all seriousness, having a knowledge that this power still exists, and is waiting to be exercised in answer to prayer and faith when the mortal gets into that condition of sincerity and faith that will cause it to come and manifest itself. So, tell the doctor to believe that what has been told him is not the fairy story of some spirit who takes delight in planting and encouraging hope, only to end in disappointment. We are all interested in this matter, for we desire to have demonstrated again this healing power of God which has been given to mortals in the past, is here waiting for a further demonstration. We have enjoyed being here tonight and listening to your conversation, and also the atmosphere of love that has been with you. I will not write more tonight, but will say wait just a moment, for Mary wants to tell the doctor that she is 372, so much interested in the case that he is working with, and that she and his mother were with him when he visited the sick woman, and are so anxious that his ministrations will make her well. She also says that she wants to tell him the old, but always new, to her, story of how much she loves him. Well, I must stop, so with all my love and a big kiss, and Mary says, one from her too, I will say good night. Your own true and loving, Helen. April 20, 1916 Solomon, of the Old Testament. I come only to say, that very soon I desire to write you another message, conveying to you some great truth of the Father. I will not write more now, but will soon come. Question: what is the greatest thing in all the world? Prayer and faith on the part of mortals, and love, the divine love, on the part of God. The latter is waiting, and the former causes it to enter into the souls of men. No other truths are so great and momentous to men. Let what I say sink deep into your memory, and try the experiment. I know you do try, but try and then try and never cease trying. Love will come to you, and with it faith, and then knowledge, and then ownership. I could write for a long time, yet, but I must not as you are tired. So with my love and blessings, I will say good night, and may the Father's love take possession of you. Your brother in Christ, Solomon. I am here, John the Baptist. I have not written you for some time, and tonight I come merely to let you know that I have not forgotten you, and am with you quite often, trying to help you with my love and influence. No, I was not present then. Well, I am glad that you had such an experience, and I will tell you that you shall have many more experiences of that kind, for the celestial spirits are your friends and companions, and where they are, only love can come. Well, that does seem contradictory. But the fact is, that I never sent my disciples to ask any such question. I knew at the time of the baptism of Jesus that he was the promised Messiah, and that knowledge never left me or degenerated into a doubt. This passage of the Bible has no foundation in fact, for I never thought it necessary to ask any such question, and, as I have said, I never asked it. The Paget Messages 1916, to me, Jesus was the real Christ, and I knew that he was the true and only one, and that no other would come after him. For when he brought to light the fact that God had bestowed upon mankind the great possibility of obtaining the divine love and the divine nature, then ever thereafter arose the necessity for the existence or coming of another Christ. The great gift that was necessary to make man a being divine had been bestowed, and beyond that there was nothing that the Father had to bestow upon mankind. I am so sorry that such an untruth should have been written and incorporated in the Bible. It did Jesus an injustice and made me appear as a contradictory prophet and messenger of his coming. When I said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord," I meant that I knew that Jesus was the true Christ, and that forever thereafter would that knowledge be mine. No, I did not send my disciples to ask the question that you referred to. As I knew then, I know now, that Jesus was and is the true Son of God, and the Savior of mankind, in the sense that he brought life and immortality to light. I will soon come and write you on some of these Bible declarations. I will now stop, and in doing so say, that you have my love and blessings and the love of the Father, which is the great love that makes you a part of the divine essence of the Father. So my dear brother, good night, your brother in Christ, John the Baptist. April 23, 1916. I am here, Jesus. I come tonight to tell you that you are in a much better condition of soul than you have been for several days, and the inflowing of the divine love has been working today in greater abundance in your soul. I do not intend to finish my message tonight as it is rather late and you are not exactly in the condition to receive it. But turn your thoughts more to God and pray in more earnestness, and very soon will come to you the power and soul perception which will enable you to receive my message as I desire to deliver it to you. Today has been one when mortals, and I mean those who profess to be followers of me, have offered their worship and songs of praise to me and to God, but I am sorry to say, that he has been worshipped in a secondary sense, and I brought into prominence as the Savior of mankind, and as the important one of the 373, that constitutes the Godhead. How wrong and sinful this all is, and how I deplore these erroneous beliefs and understandings of men. If they would only know that I am not God, and no part of the Godhead, but only a Son and Spirit filled with his divine love, and one having knowledge of him, and his plans for the salvation of mankind, they would get nearer to God in their worship, and receive more of his divine love in their souls and partake more of his divine nature. But I realize that this belief in me as God, and that my death and sacrifice on the cross were necessary to their salvation, will be hard to eradicate, and that many who now live will pass into the spirit world before the truths which I come to teach and declare will be published to the world. We must make more speed in our work of writing and receiving these messages, for the importance of the world knowing the truths as regards me, and the true and only plan of salvation is now pressing and must be shown to man in order for him to turn to the Father's love and gain an entrance into the kingdom. I want you to give more time to our writings, and instead of reading those books of philosophy and the speculations of what are supposed to be wise theologians and philosophers and scientists, let your hours from your business cares be devoted to my communications and those of the other writers of the celestial spheres. Of course, I do not intend that you shall not permit the dark spirits to write on the nights that you have set apart for them, because such prohibition would prevent much good from being accomplished. These spirits are greatly benefited by having the opportunity to write, and many of them have been greatly helped thereby, and have been turned to the light and instructed to seek for the divine love of the Father. The spirits here, who are engaged in the work of instructing and helping these spirits, have rescued many from their condition of darkness and sufferings, and have shown them the way to light and to their salvation.